Good morning. Welcome to worship at Abiding Love. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, it's raining. It's raining. Wasn't that beautiful this morning to wake up to the sound of rain, just this gentle rain falling? It's like a blessing from God in the midst of the summer. It is a blessing from God, and we give thanks for that. We give thanks for the opportunity to gather here in this place of peace to hear God's word, to share the sacrament of God's table, to pray and praise together as the family of faith. And we continue in our series on the language of belief, faith, hope, love, and other things that we say. And with the intention of helping, trying, working to make that language intelligible to the wider world around us. We are called in this ordinary time to do so. So here at the outset of our time together, let's stand. Let's offer a litany of praise to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word for us is spirit and truth. Teach us a language of faith that we may encourage trust in you in a skeptical world. Teach us a language of hope that we might shine your light in shadow and darkness. Teach us a language of love that the world may know your goodness and grace. Speak to us in spirit and truth. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Amen. Grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the
pray. God of life, teach us the power of faith to confront the challenges and seeming impossibilities of life. Teach us to wield this power that you plant within each one of us for good, for the well-being of others and your creation, for the sake of your kingdom that is seeking to break free in the midst of the world. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Habakkuk. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Moreover, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats wide as Sheol. Like death, they never have enough. They gather all nations for themselves and collect all peoples as their own. And the word was with God. We will read Psalm 146 responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord. Do not put your trust in princes. Immortals in whom there is no help, when their breath. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. A reading from Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far has been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, and it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. And the word was with God. Please stand as you can for the gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Even if you say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I invite our youngins to come up.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus?
Join me.
How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E. How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus?
Come on up, Adeline. It's good to see you.
How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
We're talking about different ways of saying things, even stuff that's really familiar to us. And I learned a song this week that I thought was just perfect for this Bible verse. You want to hear what it sounds like? Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. Isn't that awesome? It's kind of just the same thing that we just read in the gospel, right? You want to try it? Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. I love that song. It's new and I'm just learning it, so I brought a copy just in case I forgot some lines. But it is right on with our gospel today. It talks about something so small. Mustard seeds are so small. And I think Jesus is using them deliberately as an example just because they are so small. We could lose them. And yet, they grow into giant bushes. He sees this in his world. He sees this in his life. And he realizes that faith is a lot the same. Something so small, just a little bit of faith in us, a little bit of faith in God, can do incredible things in the midst of the world, can grow like into a mighty shrub. And he describes it as birds being able to come and other animals being able to rest in its shade on hot days. Faith is a beautiful thing. It blesses people, and it blesses the whole world around us. So as we're talking about faith, we want to remember that. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. Believe what Jesus said was true. Believe he meant it for me and you. Look and see what God can do when we pray, when we pray. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains, move mountains. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. That's a little song we can carry with us as we go, isn't it? Yeah, faith as small as a mustard seed can do incredible things in the world. And God is counting on that from us, amen? So you can go back and sit with your folks now. Thank you for coming up and being a part of this worship service and this blessing. And stay tuned, because we've got more to talk about with this faith thing. We started unpacking the language of belief in this extraordinary time. We started talking about our calling as the people of God, as in this Pentecost season, we know from our biblical stories about it, people began to speak to the world around them in languages that others could understand. People began to speak to the world around them in ways that connected with others, and maybe for the first time, maybe shared a notion of faith and belief and spiritual life that hadn't occurred or hadn't been trained or educated into folks. It was an opportunity to share with them the goodness and the blessing that we have received at the hand of God. And this entire Pentecost season, this long green season on our church calendar, is devoted to that. It's devoted to the people of God living out what we have learned, what has been revealed to us in the gospel, and sharing that in ways that touch ground in the lives of other people. And that's not an easy calling. That is not an easy road by any stretch in a world that is just fraught with communication and noise and din and complexity and busyness. It's very hard to get the attention of folks long enough to share something with them that would be so good for them. But that's our calling, and so we do it. So we started unpacking these words of belief, this language of belief. And we start with faith, logically. And we started with a good biblical definition of it. You remember what that was? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's the definition that Scripture gives us of what faith is. It's as close to a Webster's as we're going to get in the Bible. All of the rest of the biblical teaching about faith, pretty much, is by example. Isn't that interesting? It's through story, through anecdote, through parable. It's taught and told in ways that reflect its lived nature. And we heard that ultimately human challenge last week. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. The challenge of faith and doubt, the challenge not of faithlessness, but the challenge of faith and doubt in the midst of the world. Will there ever be enough? Will there ever be peace? Will there ever be safety and security? Will there ever be a decent place for everyone to live? Challenges our faith. Sometimes the problems seem insurmountable. We've had it in our face over the last 24 hours how violent and conflicted this world can be. Is our faith strong enough? Is our faith sufficient to carry us in times like this, to strengthen us and bolster us and continue us in this high calling of sharing God's grace? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus took us deeper. He expressed faith in ways that were not just tenets of belief, that were not just an affirmation of a code or a creed, but that faith was a living, vital, kinetic thing. Faith is something we do, not just have. Faith is a living, breathing, kinetic force, a way of being. And we heard that marvelous phrase
from Luther's preface to the Epistle to Rome. Oh, it is a living, busy, mighty thing, this faith. Such a powerful appreciation of the workingness of faith in the world, the literal kinetic work that it does. And Jesus is still taking us deeper. And he does it in his teaching today with these astounding, maybe confounding things that he has to say about it. In our gospel reading today, faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Whoa. That's power. It's an incredible power, isn't it? It's a cosmic power. It's geophysical power that he's talking about. Say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will be done. Really? Do we live our lives according to a faith like that? I have to say, this kind of stuff drags me over the rocks and has for a long time in my journey, in my discovery, in my engagement with God's revelation in Christ. When he says things like this, I take it personally and I start to think, you know, is my faith strong enough? Why isn't my faith stronger? Could I move mountains? Could I throw a mountain into the sea? Despite, I have to admit, the total absurdity of this in my experience of the world. And over time, I've realized a couple things. One, my faith is strong, but it's simple. And faith is far simpler than we may overcomplicate it sometimes. I realized that my faith was strong. It was my religiousness that was getting in the way. And then second, Jesus isn't talking about throwing mountains into the sea. He's talking about something far more powerful than that. If to understand this, we need to know a little bit about mustard, and we need to know a little bit about the way Jesus teaches. Elsewhere, in the gospel, he uses this same analogy, but he's not talking about faith. He's talking about, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use for it? And here he is casting about in his own experience for a teaching, a story. And we've talked many times before about Jesus as an inveterate storyteller. He realizes the power of story to communicate deep truth and to communicate lots of information and to connect vitally with people's lived experience. He knows that story is far more powerful than dictate, than lecture. It's like a mustard seed, he says. This is the kingdom of God he's talking about, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. Jesus employs daily lived experience. Mustard is prevalent and common in the lives of people of his time. The vegetable parts of it are eaten, much like other vegetables in this same family of plants, turnips, cabbage, broccoli. Mustard is common. It's all over the place. Another thing about it is it requires no cultivation. Like Jesus describes in the story, you just throw it out on the ground. You throw it in the garden. You throw it in the pasture. You throw it on the path. He talks a lot about throwing seeds on the path, right? Mustard has a way of just taking hold and rooting and growing. It's a very aggressive little plant. And it grows into a very large aggressive plant. There are mustard plants in the Jordan River Valley that top 10 feet and more, all from these little bitty seeds. And Jesus is reflecting on this in the lives of the people that he's talking to. They know this. They deal with this all the time. This is a really common analogy for them. Well, what should we compare the kingdom of heaven to? What should we compare it? What parable shall we tell about it? Well, let's tell one that's right smack dab center in the lives of the people we want to communicate with. Very interesting idea about what it is to share faith with someone. Kingdom of God he's talking about. Mustard requires no cultivation. It's the smallest seed in the array that's available to the people of his time, and yet it produces the largest plant going. Mustard plants in the Jordan River Valley and in the Levant are larger than most of the trees that are there. The nature of the plant. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. The other thing we need to connect with is the way in which Jesus teaches and the things that he says, the extreme language that he uses. And he uses extreme language a lot. He talks in scandalous ways at times that really confront people, that really challenge their sense of being and doing, their status quo about life. So when he uses extreme examples like this, he comes by it honestly, and he finds it to be a really effective way of getting the attention of people, but not only that, of evoking imagination. Because when we start to think about something as small as a mustard seed, our bulletin cover image, pulling a mountain out of the ground and throwing it somewhere else, that's a pretty compelling image. And yes, I do believe that he is not talking about throwing mountains in the ocean. But I do believe that he's communicating something really profound about the least bit of faith that we can hold to and the power that it has for life, not just for us, but for the world around us. That little bit of faith that sustains us at times when nothing else is gonna. When we confront things that are so overwhelming and so deeply injurious, so traumatic, there's something that we have to hold to, and that's the faithfulness of God. And we don't make near enough of that in Scripture. There are endless scriptures about us and our faith, what it is to be faithful and what it is to be faithless and all of that, all from our perspective. And very little, and not nearly enough, is made of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. We have entered into covenant relationships as a species with God for as long as we've been stomping on the tundra. And we have pretty much fallen short in most all of them at one time or another. God never has. The testaments of Scripture are, if anything, a marvelous testament to God's faithfulness. This one who is with us still, who never abandons, who never relinquishes, who never separates us from that goodness and love that is God. God's faithfulness is a strength for us in the worst possible times. When faith confronts the impossible with possibility. It confronts the impossibility of what we've been seeing in the news over the last 24 hours, over the last week, over the last number of years. As gun violence in this country continues to claim thousands upon thousands of lives per year. Let's just take that. And almost the sheer impossibility of dealing with that. What are we going to do? Something has to change. Because we can't allow this continual reign of death in the greatest country that has ever been. I think something has to change. And faith is the thing that confronts the sheer impossibility of that challenge with the possible. Yes, we can do this with the will, with the courage, with the wisdom that flows to us from the source of all things in life, the very God who gives us life. Faith sustains and guides, raises our eyes to the horizon. Faith has the power to lift us up from the resignation to what is, to the promise of what can be. That's faith. And that's the power of faith in the midst of life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Does solving some of the challenges that confront us, not only in this country, but around the world, seem like trying to throw a mountain in the ocean? It can feel that way. And yet Jesus talks about the power of faith in the one who is love and justice and goodness. to lift our eyes up again and say, yes, this too is something that we can confront and defeat in the interest of bringing about peace. Through faith, we enter into the realm of the miraculous, not the supernatural, but the truly miraculous in the lives and cultures and conflicts and challenges around us in the world. Luther said this. He said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Living, daring, confident. He says, so sure and certain that a man, forgive the pronoun references, a man would stake his life 1 in 1,000 times, a woman would stake her life, her well-being, and that of her family 1,000 times on the power that faith has to make things right, to bring about the justice, the correction, the things that we know we need to do. All of this in his preface to Romans, and the letter from Romans is where we read from today in our New Testament reading. To believers in Rome, Paul writes, whom he's not yet visited, a community he didn't found, and yet is the talk of the known world among the circles in which Paul seeks to run. People at the ground zero of the empire, Rome itself, seeking to live as Christ, seeking to be a faith community in the midst of that context, is astounding in and of itself. The challenges, the danger, the threats and the violence, the ostracism and rejection, the things that they would experience for just seeking to be the people whom God is calling them to be, would lay at their feet, is astounding. And Paul marvels at it. He says to them, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. Their faithful living in the midst of all of this has become a story for the rest of the growing world of believers around the Mediterranean. What about those people in Rome? Look what they're up against and look what they're doing. Paul says, your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. I long to visit you so that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Hear that. Faith is not just a personal thing that you either measure up or you don't. Faith is a communal thing. It's a blessing that's shared. And your faith bolsters mine and mine, hopefully yours. At the times when we need it the most, Paul wants to go there because he knows the power of spiritual community to build up and to strengthen faith. And finally, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. It's our very believing that opens us up to the possibilities that God is talking about. And it is that believing and embracing those possibilities that strengthens and engenders even more faith in us. This is part of that God economy thing. The more you give away, the more you have. This doesn't operate in financial economic terms. This operates in God's economic terms. And it is by giving that you receive. And it is in sharing that you yourself are blessed and built up. Amen? This is how God's world works. So when we find somebody talking about faith as small as a mustard seed moving mountains, maybe we can connect with that in a little different way and not let our religiousness like mine get in the way, but the pragmatics, the simplicity, and the profoundness of this faith that is a gift from God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's stand together as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Gathered together as the people of God, in faith, we open our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith, for the way in which you instill yourself at the various deepest levels of ourselves, dwell there, and fan there to flames the embers that you have planted there, embers of faith and hope and love. Hear us, O God. Teach us the power of faith, Lord, in life, in the daily truck of our existence. Teach us the power of faith to change us and the world around us. Teach us the power of faith that continues and sustains us in works of justice, righteousness, and peace according to your will. Hear us, O Lord. And bless us, Lord. Protect us in those times when our mustard seed faith is assailed from within and from without. Help us to meet the joys and celebrations of this life and its challenges and its deep distresses with that same faith. Be there at the center of us, calling forth life continuously in Jesus' name. Hear us, O God. We pray especially this day for a number in our community and for others around the world with special needs. We pray for Morris Thompson and Laura Blaschke, for Gloria Hayden and Tony Hippie, Danny Santos, for Brian Land, for Keith Reach, Barbara Hargis, for Verla Cook and Spencer Altman, and all of those that are on our hearts and minds this day, so many, Lord, in need of grace, a touch of healing, an ounce of faith. We name them before you now. Hear us, O God. Inspire our churches, Lord, abiding love in all of our Austin City Lutheran partner congregations and surrounding faith communities. We remember these people today from Salem Lutheran Church in Austin, and we pray blessings on their ministry. Bless David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City and all who are serving in Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Global Missions, Tim Sump and all who are serving in the Peace Corps and other organizations that are seeking to bring relief and healing to so many. Empower people in this very community, Lord. We single out today Carla, Sarah, and Ryan Pavey, Marcy Parker, Jeffrey Page, Helen Page, Dan, April, Savannah Page, and Coy McCollum. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gather us, Lord. Gather us in an embrace of faith and strengthen us for all that is and all that is coming, to live as your people in your world, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to be seated. We take this opportunity to gather the harvest of our offerings. Stand and sing together. up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth the apostles to preach the gospel and teach all nations, and promised to be with us even to the end of the age. And so with the glorious company of apostles and all the saints in light, with the choirs of angels, the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna.
With all who would gather, our Lord took bread. He blessed it and gave thanks. He broke it, and he shared it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." And in the same way, taking a cup, he blessed it and gave thanks, and he shared it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we pray in the words our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. And those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you.
Sin.
Stand and let's pray together. God of all life, of all creation, you bless us in this sacred meal, your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world, your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead, and you have given us a vision of your kingdom come, where all are welcome. All are fed, and none go wanting. Pray with me. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new.
Jesus Christ,
our Savior and Lord. Amen. We have just a few announcements today. Our summer sound wave continues between the worship services and the activity center. Kids of all ages, parents are welcome as well, and that will continue next week as well, through August the 11th this year. We have offerings for adults in our Bible boosters just down the hall in the classroom. And we're having a rich conversation about forgiveness in here in the pastor's forum between the services. So there's something for everybody. Service Sunday is on its way. And Jamie and Monty Jane and others have been putting together good opportunities for us to reach out in Jesus' name. On September the 8th, following the worship services, there's the opportunity to sign up for t-shirts, and I think today is the last day. Is today? Maybe one more Sunday. Okay, but in order to get yourself a t-shirt, make sure that you get on the list out there. And there are sign-up sheets for the service sites out there as well, and Jamie's put together information about each of the sites, the kind of work that'll be going on there, and the ages for which it's appropriate, so you can get a sense of where it is that you, your family, others might like to go. Lunch, of course, our fellowship team is providing lunch for us. We'll have lunch here, and then we'll head out to the sites, I think is what the plan is. Yeah, all right, thank you, Billy, and all the fellowship people for doing that. Our work team has been working at Mariposa Family Learning Center, which is the name that's been embraced for our new children's center and preschool in East Austin. And we are underway with director interviews and moving forward in the development of that ministry. So continue to pray for that. Please continue to support that as we support all of the mission and ministries of the church, in which you are all so faithful. God is inviting you to share faith simply and powerfully with a world that is in need of faith. And God will bless us in this endeavor. God will give us the strength and the energy. God gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit's promise is the words will be there. So God bless you and keep you. God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. God look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Go forth together, sharing God's love. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's make that peace this week.